You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul on this happy Sunday. Hope everybody's enjoying their day. I'm here with Tony St. Tone.
Mm-hmm.
And my name is Janie Beauclair, and we are delighted to bring you some good news today.
You know, we have some good news today. We actually got some rain last night.
Which
from what I understand, it has not rained. Well, A, it hasn't rained here in like forever. I mean, we were asking some friends that were from Boston visiting, and they said, when was the last time you saw it rain? I says, I can't even remember. And we've been here 3 years, but I remember it's been over a year at least.
We figured out in 3 years we've seen it rain like 5 times.
Yeah.
Period.
So oddly enough, you know, here we are the night before. This was Friday night we were talking, and then we had a show last night. And halfway through our show, it started raining.
Yes, it did. And it was an outside show at this big, swank, beautiful place. And everybody's, you know, decked out and people in evening gowns all around. And then parties going on everywhere. And downpour.
Well, what's funny for me is it slowly started coming. And I were like waiting and waiting. The band's still playing. And having played in Florida for a number of years, you know, you'll get these quick downpours and then it's back to clear sunny skies. But here, I don't know how to predict the rain. And everyone was sort of weird about it because they're like, they've never seen it rain in the months of summer. But also the fact that it hasn't rained in such a long time, it was very welcoming. And everyone's looking at us and we're looking at them and we're singing the song and I keep putting my hand out like, these drops are getting bigger. Drops are getting bigger and there's more of them. And so, you know, and even as the band members were looking at each other going like, all right, who's going to pull the plug? Who's going to finally say stop?
I did
finally
it.
Stop, finally stop. And I was just like, that's it.
I unplugged my keyboard and went, nope, not playing in the rain.
Yeah, and actually, I don't think I even noticed that you did that until I turned around. I was like, okay, we got to end right in the middle.
Yeah.
And then it was scramble mode to get our stuff dry. But
there's no amount of money that would have been worth me zapping my new keyboard.
No.
None.
No, we actually asked an electrician out in the audience, this older guy named Lee. And I says, Lee, you're an electrician. What should we do? It's raining. He said, roll your pants up.
That was his advice.
That was his advice. And
brilliant.
I said, awesome. And then I says, is there also a doctor in the house? Now that we have that.
Brilliant advice.
Advice that might not.
One that specializes
give us what we
in
need.
Shock therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that was really interesting to actually have it rain on a night that we're playing outside.
Well, let's just take that a little further. There was some craziness that happened in the state of California in Hollywood the other day, where a 93-year-old pipe burst, and what did they say, like 200 million gallons
of water,
fresh water,
and actually it flooded UCLA,
yeah,
who had just had some work
done. This state is so starving for water, and it'd been so long since it rained, and then so they bust that pipe, and then all of a sudden we got rain.
Yeah.
Pretty
so who knows? Pretty interesting. The fact that it's a 93-year-old pipe amazed me.
Well, the roads are about 100, too.
Yeah, so
I was like, non-paved or repaired in 100 years.
But then again, that being said, we were talking to our friends from Boston, and the guy said that he works for the power company, and they went to drill. And though everyone had cleared the area, you can drill here, no problem, you can drill here. They drilled down, and they hit a water pipe from 1919.
Oh,
and they found out that it was a fire hydrant. And the fire hydrant was right smack in the middle of a building.
What?
That they had built around it.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, so they had just capped it off and built around it. So that pipe wasn't on any of their records.
Nobody had it on the radar.
Exactly.
Crazy. So,
I found that interesting. I would always think that people would have all these records saved. But I guess after 100 years or so.
Well, things get transposed differently over the years and over the years. And oops, forgot a pipe. Sorry.
Yeah, oops, I forgot to put that in. So, yes, it's very good news. And we have some really cool things that we're going to be talking about today. We have a guest that actually is from Chicago, but she is now living in Africa. And we're going to tell you all about her and what she's doing.
She was actually born in Africa.
Oh, I didn't
realize Moved that. To Chicago, became an American citizen. She's a dual citizen because she was born there. Got her education here and went back to her birthplace to help out the problems that she saw. Really, really cool, inspiring lady. And this is a really different way for us to do an interview today. She being in Ghana, Africa, and running an orphanage there, didn't have the means to spend a half hour, 45 minutes on the phone with us today. So what I did was I conversed with her back and forth on our email, and I asked her a variety of questions, and she answered them all for me. And so we're going to read and do the interview different style today.
We're both going to be playing roles. I will be playing the part of Janie, and Janie will be playing the part of Sarah.
I'm going to have to give you a skirt or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, so, it's going to be like listening to Little Orphan Annie.
Oh, doesn't that sound exciting? Orphan Annie. But Mr. St. Tone here, for those of you just joining us for the first time, Tony has a positive music band. That, I mean, the lyrics to the majority of his songs are positive and inspiring and cause an awakening, if you will. And you've got some really cool things going on with your music at the moment.
Yeah, I have 15 CDs out, and I've been approached by some people to represent or give them some tracks, some songs that I have. So what I've been doing for the past couple of weeks is I have new songs that I'm in the process of recording. So what I decided to do is put all the new songs on along with a bunch of older songs that I've had throughout the years. And the songs that I've had throughout the years have actually been, you know, you're picking through 15 CDs worth of songs. It's quite challenging. But I narrowed it down, and I got it down to 21 songs. And even that was extremely difficult, if you can imagine.
It was.
But I got it down to 21 songs, and out of the 21 songs, I think four of them are new. And so we're going to be presenting these to different record companies through a friend of ours. So we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, and you know, the picking process was pretty tough, but you had your wingman, Dave Gilman. You've been in the band with for how many years, on and off, all around?
About 25 years.
Yeah, and so it's cool that you had Dave to help you pick and choose and decide.
From different things. Oh, actually, Dave Gilman just walked into the
Dave
studio.
Dave Gilman just walked into the studio.
Actually, David
is from
Gilman Amps, so you might remember him. We do different advertisements from Gilman Amps. Dave, have a seat for a second. We're just going to talk to you for a quick second about this. So we're just telling the audience about us and how we are picking these songs throughout all the years, and you've been exposed to a lot of these. Many of them you played on, many of them you just have played them live. So you just listened to a bunch of different songs. What are your thoughts about this? Like, where's the CD from an outsider's perspective? Is it all over the board?
It's quite a collection. I mean, I just listened to those 21 songs, and it definitely, you know, hits on a lot of different places that we've been over the last 25 or 27 years or whatever. And I actually think it's a good representation of you know, what you've accomplished, although it's just a small, you know, fraction of really your whole collection. I think it shows, you know, little highlights from each period, which is good.
Yeah, you know, it's what's interesting about me, and Dave can agree with this, is that I've never really liked to write in one particular style, and having played for 30 years, a lot of my musical tastes have evolved. And I got to tell you, what's really funny for me is yesterday I went and listened to the lyrics, and I had to make sure all the lyrics, because we're putting out a lyric book. And some of the lyrics that I wrote back in the day were so simple and so funny to me that I'm like, I actually wrote a song called Ayo, and the words are just like, they're not nonsense, but compared to where I am now and how I want to put out a positive message now, they're real simple. And I've heard interviews from Paul McCartney to Sting to a number of these guys who say, John Lennon, who said, oh, the stuff I wrote in the past was rubbish. It was just stuff that I was just putting out, these simple things, because they became more conscious as they got older. Sting and obviously John Lennon was very much of an activist for stopping wars and stuff, and wanted to put out a positive message. And I can totally feel where they're at, because that's where I'm at. I listen to the older stuff and I go, you know, it's just a song for a song's sake, as opposed to a...
It's interesting you say that, because, you know, in listening to 21 songs back-to-back and, you know, really, you know, keying in on the lyrics, there's songs like say, Summertime, which is a great song, but it shows that your mind was in a totally different place then as far as what you wanted to say.
Yeah, like the words to me didn't matter as much as the melody and the music.
No,
it was
but
more
I mean,
like
it paints a picture of, you know, exactly what it is you know,
being by the beach with your girlfriend and you're just hanging out and
sure, which I'm not trying to say that that's generic, but obviously I've heard that format before, you know,
yeah,
with different artists or whatever. And, you know, listening obviously to the new stuff, it feels like as a lyricist, you're finally creating a niche that's unique to at least what I know that's out there as far as right now. And it's, you know, there's definitely a maturity in the lyrical content that wasn't there 15 or 20 years ago, which,
right,
you know, is something that is, like I said, I just noticed that just an hour ago as I was looking at, you know, listening to these things. And, you know, that's something I hadn't really thought about until you're actually listening to them at the same time. You know, I was listening more for musical content because that's obviously what I'm editing right now.
Right. Now, and now that being said, and us taking this little journey, if you will, through time, I just found this article. There's a website that's out there. It's called globalgoodnews.com, and it's a really great website because what it does, it actually just tells you all these good things that are happening in science and in film and in music and all these things. So I came across this article. There's an Alzheimer's documentary called Alive Inside, and this guy did this documentary for 3 years. And what he found is he went to take some videos at an Alzheimer's patient's house, or, you know, where they facility where they live, and he found all these people all in wheelchairs sitting outside of their rooms, and he goes, it felt like Dante's Inferno. He goes, they're just all quiet, all crumpled up and stuff. And what had happened is a nurse grabbed a set of headphones. She grabbed this guy who was 94 years old, grabbed a set of headphones, and found a song that he liked and put it on his head. And all of a sudden, his foot started tapping. And all of a sudden, his arms started moving. And he got out of his little grasp. And all of a sudden, she took the headphones off and she started talking to him. And he was totally there. Like, really? It reawoken this person inside. And I know that music is therapy, and what this whole movie documentary is pushing for is music therapy.
Sure.
You know, bringing people back to a time when they were youthful in their life and they had a lot of energy. And I know Janie and I have had this experience of actually playing at senior citizen homes where there'll be people that are kind of tonic in the back, like they haven't moved at all, and we're starting to play some Elvis song and their foot starts moving. And the nurses react to it. They go, oh, my God, that's Mr. Jones. Look, he's actually moving.
Oh, wow.
Like, we haven't seen him move or react in a while, but here we are putting out live music. And it's just an incredible, incredible thing. And I think science is going to find...
Yeah, I was going to say, do you know any studies where they've actually, you know, done clinical, you know, studies of this as a therapy? I mean, I don't know any...
There is a such thing as music therapy. Yes, there is a such thing as music therapy. I think what it's doing is it's becoming more well-known.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been told lately that we should go after some music grants because there's information out there that still needs to be gathered and tested.
Sure.
And since I'm doing music with a message, and it's positive music with a message that people get on a subconscious level maybe sometimes, and then they get it on a conscious level, they said that you should definitely be doing some studies on that, you know, just going out and playing for people that are in situations that either in a hospital or in a nursing home, you'll start seeing.
Well, we've seen
reactions.
How people react, at least in the jails that we've played. You know, I remember the first time that we actually performed at the L.A. County,
jail system. Twin Towers.
I wasn't expecting the reaction that we got.
None of us were.
It's definitely overwhelming, and it made you realize, and, you know, it also gave me a different perspective, especially when, you know, you tend to play out a lot, and you tend to, you know, after a while, it can get feel like a little bit of, like a job because you've been playing the same songs over and over, and I have to constantly remind myself that how important that is to people. And, you know, it always reminds me of, and I forget what band was saying this, but they strive to be as true to the original recordings live as possible, because they may say, listen, we've been playing it for 25 years, but the person who came and paid money to see us, this might be the only time that they've actually had an opportunity to come and watch the band live, and they never wanted to disappoint, you know, any, you know, one person, because that is important to them.
That's interesting. And it's interesting you said that, because a guy like Sting, for example, does the exact opposite.
Sure.
He's like, well, you have the record at home. You can listen to it anytime you want. And he goes, I like to push the envelope of creativity. So when he starts his tour, whatever new songs he has actually evolve by the end of the show or by the end of the tour.
Sure.
And as a musician, that's part of the creative process, going like, wow, we went on a longer jam with this. So it's interesting that, you know, you get two different perspectives on that.
Yeah, that is interesting that a lot of times when you watch a band up on stage, they are playing the same songs night after night, where some bands, like you mentioned, Sting, and I've seen Fish before in the past, and one of the things that always stuck with me about that particular band was that they never knew what songs they were going to play that night or what configuration that song would even take place, and they would literally create right on stage, which to me, being an audience member and being a part of that, was to me an extra element of watching a band like that. And for from the performing end of things, to me, that's really where the magic happens.
See, I like to bring that to our band, but a lot of times the guys want set lists. And so what I do is I humor them with a set list, and then I just don't use it.
And then throw it out the window.
I go, I know we were going to do these songs, but let's do this one.
Yeah, well, one
it's
thing,
on the set.
One thing we like to strive for is some kind of spontaneity on stage, because, you know, a lot of times that's that added element, you know, the crowd energy that you're getting back, and sometimes it pushes you to do things that you wouldn't have normally done or take chances that you wouldn't have, that really, to me, is, you know, that encapsulates the whole creative process, you know, at its highest form, you know?
Right. Out of all the shows that we've done together, and this is just a question, what do you think gave you the most emotional reaction? And I know what mine is, and I
gotta say, you know, and we have a lot of
we've got a lot of history behind us.
I gotta say, one of the most powerful ones was when I played at the jail for the first time. That was not only totally unexpected, but you know, of course, I wasn't even sure
what to expect.
You know, yeah. what to expect. You know, and maybe a little apprehensive as well, because, you know, some of these people are, you know, pretty hardened as far as their lifestyles, and you know, it's hard enough going into a room of just, you know,
peers.
Yeah, and entertaining them and, you know, that kind of thing. But here was a group that I probably wouldn't have had a huge contact with as far as...
Mm-hmm. On any other level, I think on any other level, we would not have been hanging out with these women in a social atmosphere, which is not to say they're good or bad. It's just that we were on two different places. And so to walk into a room like this and go, oh, my God, okay, we're going to entertain all these guys. Okay.
Sure.
And but to do it and to get the reaction that we got, I think was just, it's beyond words. And I know it's so unfortunate, because the entire band said this, oh my God, why didn't we get that on tape?
Yeah.
And we weren't allowed to film. And then we went back two or three times. We've been back there, I think, five or six times.
Sure.
And I know one of the times what we did is, which was, I thought was really smart, is we videotaped our reaction right when we came out of the jail on the way back.
Oh, that's right.
And we all just gave our opinion as what we just thought, because you leave that room on such a high, energy that's produced by, because it's a give and take. You know, it's like we're putting out this energy, they're giving it back. And you just feel it in this room. It's like, you know, you probably have 200 women or 200 men, depending on who we're playing for. But the guards are all like, oh, my God, what are these guys doing? Because we just raised the roof in that room. And,
yeah,
you know, it stays with them, because here's what I find really amazing is that I've gone back to the jails to talk or to perform, and there's people that recognize us. And I've actually had people who have come out of jail and have recognized Janie and I at different places, like, hi, do you remember me? You came to jail and you played while I was in. I was like, really? I mean, they make that type of a connection, which is pretty amazing. You're like, okay. I didn't realize I had that impression on you.
Well, it's kind of like, It's a Wonderful Life, concept where you don't realize how many people that you influence and vice versa. There's people in my life that played a big impact, and it didn't necessarily mean that I was around them for a long time or whatever. It could have just been somebody passing, happened to say something that just connected with me, you know, on a deep level that changed my life somewhere along the line. And, that's the feeling that I think we were getting, also with a feeling of total appreciation, which is something you don't always get, as musicians, we've played through all different kinds of crowds, and not everybody is as receptive as the people that we performed to that day. And I think that's a lot of what, the emotion that was happening. And, of course, we're appreciative to be appreciated. So, yeah. It goes around in a big circle, and everybody seems to really get something.
Let's put it this way, such a win-win situation. And when I talk to other musicians out there about performing at a jail, they almost always go, really, man, I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that. Like, their idea of doing it is, they always think of Johnny Cash going to
Folsom Prison.
Yeah. But, if you ever watch the movie, how those guys were so wound up, man, they were so into it. That's what happens at these shows. It's really an incredible experience. And I know that we are going to get documentary footage sooner or later. I know we are, because it's just one of those things that you have to capture it. And the coolest thing is these guys don't know any of the music that we're playing. They don't know any of it, but yet you get the reactions of them crying and laughing and getting excited, because the words, they're really listening to what we're saying. Because I usually set up every song, like, this is a song called Mama Said We Could Work It Out, and it's about win-win situations and compromise. And you'll see a girl start crying, and you talk to her afterwards, and she goes, when you said that stuff about Mama Said, I started thinking about my mom and how she told me to stay out of trouble, and she kept telling me, you're going to end up in jail, girl, you better stop doing this, and all these emotions start flooding through these different individuals. So, just some really great things. So, again, music therapy, I think it's something that is going to be recognized more and more as we do research on it, that it does trigger a lot of different emotions, and they could be very positive emotions and really help people through transitions.
Absolutely. I think about music in my own life, and I couldn't imagine what life would be like without that.
Yeah, it'd be pretty quiet.
Yeah, I guess so. I'd have to look elsewhere for my source of inspiration, but...
Dave, real quick, you are the owner and CEO of Gilman Amps. We do play your ad here. What is on the horizon for Gilman Amps now that we have you here in the hot seat?
Well, right now I'm finalizing a high-gain 2-channel amp that we're working the final details out as far as aesthetics and packaging, and hopefully we'll make that available to buy within the next month or so. Right now, I'm about to post some clips on the website, so give you an idea what it sounds like. And, of course, there's other models that I'm working on right now that are coming up that as they get closer, I'll let you in on what those all entail.
So a great candidate for an amp of yours is, it's a tube amp, meaning it's not a solid state. So those that are musicians out there, you'll understand what that is. It's a tube amp, meaning it's going with a traditional sound from the past. So that's what Dave likes to work in. He doesn't like to work in the digital age, because there's certain sounds that you get from older amps that you just can't capture anymore. So if anyone's interested out there, Gilman Amps, he also does repair work and he also does modifications. So if there is a musician out there that is listening or someone in your life, check out GilmanAmps.com.
That's and also on Facebook.
On Facebook, and it's GILMAN, Gilman Amps. Check it out. We're going to take a break for a commercial, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Janie from Artistic Journey. Start off your new year with a new marketing strategy. Whether it's for your company or your personal goals, push, let Artistic Journey help you find the unique way to show off your endeavor. With over 20 years of marketing experience in big corporations and homegrown businesses and everything in between, Artistic Journey can help you pave a new product path or an event marketing path. Check out artisticjourney.com. See the wide array of marketing merchandise available for you to put your logo on for your next big event, your personal party, or your big corporation marketing push. Get into the swing of 2014 and get your business in motion with an artistic promotion.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com. Mama said we can always hug it out. Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out Saint Tone.
So that was a fun little trip down memory lane for you, gentlemen.
Yeah, well, you know, Dave walked into the room, and I was like, we're going to snag
him.
Get him while he's here. Dave was right in the middle of listening to the final tracks and making some notes, so that's why I wanted to grab him while he was fresh.
Yeah, because Dave has such an amazing ear, he is the greatest guy in the world to listen to this selection of music. So very appreciative that he is in the house this weekend hanging out with us and happened to wander in through our radio show. So, Mr. Saint Tone, let's talk about a young lady named Sarah. Sarah Airy. I found her on my Facebook. She's a Facebook friend of ours. I've been following her and seeing what she's been doing because she has pictures on her Facebook that are very much like the photos we have on Humanitarian Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it piqued my interest. So I reached out to her and we started a conversation about, you know, what is she doing there? And she's in Ghana, Africa. And it led to me giving her a whole pile of questions and picking her brain somewhat so I could express to you how this person changed her life from being an American living in Chicago to going to Ghana, Africa and starting an orphanage.
How cool is that? So she actually started an orphanage herself.
She did, yeah. So instead of explaining more, what I did was I sent her emails with a variety of questions, and we had her answer the questions. And so Tony and I are going to do a question answer as if she's here. Unfortunately, she figured out it would cost her about $300 to do our interview in her phone bill from Ghana, Africa to here. So we chose to do it this way to help her out because obviously that $300 is way better spent at the orphanage. Okay, so go ahead, Tony. Start out.
All right, so the question started off with, and this is just a generic question right off the bat. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the show. Janie was very inspired by what she saw on Facebook and wanted to give you a hand getting the word out and telling our listening audience who you are, where you're from, and where you are now.
And she answers, my name is Sarah Airy. I'm a dual citizen of both Ghana and America. Currently, I'm living in Ghana.
What took you on the path to leave Chicago and go to Africa?
Well, I actually was born in Africa, precisely in Ghana. I realized that there was a lot of poverty here and that I needed to come back and contribute and take the kids out of the street and give them some hope.
Wow, that's awesome. And now you were going to school to be a nurse in Chicago. Are you working now as a nurse at the orphanage?
Yes, I do more than just a nurse, though, because I am actually the founder of the orphanage. I must put in my best to make sure that things work out well, the way I want them to, LOL.
How many kids do you have there?
We have 74 kids under our care and 7 care mothers and 8 volunteer workers. Now, just think about that. This is Janie talking now. They have 74 children under their care in an orphanage.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
74 kids? Yeah. That's a lot. That's a whole school of
that's
kids.
That's a lot in so many different ways. I mean, you think about it. That's children of every level. From the photos that I saw of the orphanage, the kids look like they're about maybe 3 years old to maybe 12 to 15, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about an orphanage is so much different from going to a place to get adopted. When you're in an orphanage, you got a 50-50 chance. It's just like a foster home. You may or may not come out of there with a family. And if you
right.
don't, you're living on your own on the streets at 18 years old. The government no longer is caring for you in the U.S.
Right.
And I can imagine they have much less ability.
Going on out there, yeah, and support. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what a big undertaking to jaunt out to a different country, open an orphanage, and suddenly take care of 74 children.
I know, but honestly, she heard the calling. She felt like that's what she needed to do, and she's doing
How
it.
Amazing.
So I give her total strength and props for doing that, because I think it's an awesome thing. If she didn't do it, someone had to fill that void.
Yeah.
And she saw the void there, and she filled it.
Yep, yep.
That's
I
what
think
happens,
it's really
so.
Cool. I just had to chime in and talk about that for a minute, because that was one of the things when I was reading over her answers that really hit me. I'm like, wow, 74 kids, you're responsible for their entire life right now.
Mm-hmm.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, school, teaching, learning.
Yeah, growing up, just lessons to be learned.
Just wow. And there's
a lot.
What did she say? There's seven people taking care of 74 children.
She said there's seven care mothers and eight volunteers.
That's 10 kids per person.
Yeah, roughly.
Oh, my. I had one child. That was plenty.
Mm-hmm. So here's the next question. How long have you been doing this, and how much longer do you think you'll be there?
Well, her orphanage is called Little Saint Orphanage Home. They were founded in 2010 with 12 needy children in 2010. They were in a rental premises, and consequently, by 2012, the house that they're presently living in was partially completed for the kids to settle into. So they registered it to receive the certification of incorporation in 2013. So she got there in 2010, and in 2013, she was already incorporated as a certified orphanage. She says, "We received the certification of recognition as a voluntary organization rendering selfless service to humanity and mankind from the social welfare." That's pretty heavy.
Yeah. I think that's awesome.
Selfless service to humanity. What a nice little plaque to have on your wall.
Yeah.
That's really a beautiful thing. And that just goes to show you the kind heart of this young lady. You know. And
do we know how old she is currently?
We're not telling age.
I'm sorry. I just thought I'd ask that question. If she were on the phone right now, I'd ask her. Can I text her a message and say,
no.
How old are you? Okay.
She's 24 and never looked better.
Really? She's 24? No, she's not. Is she? I was going
to
say, it's very young to be doing that.
I'm protecting Sarah. Sarah, I won't tell him my age either.
All right, Sarah. Sorry about that.
Okay.
What do you think the most important thing you do with and for the kids is?
Well, Little Saint Orphanage Home seeks to provide parental care and training for the needy children to prepare them for challenges of life with confidence. And see, that goes with what I was just saying. If they don't end up with parents, they are on their own to prepare for challenges of life with confidence.
Yeah, well, they're basically trying to raise them to be adults.
Yeah.
So by the time they're 18, they need to be adults. I'm sorry, you don't have an 18-year-old mindset.
You're not playing hopscotch.
Yeah, you have to be out there and say, okay, now you're 18, you're an adult. And think about this for a quick second. In different cultures, you become an adult at different ages.
Right.
In America, it seems like, I mean, this is just my own thought.
You could be 30.
Yeah, my own personal thought is that they seem to go longer with treating you as a child, where in other countries, by the time you're 16, you're considered an adult, or 14, you're an adult. And if you go back in time, there were kids that would get married at 14.
Right.
You
still
know?
Today.
So it's like, Gypsy Wedding,
right.
That crazy TV show
TV
where the
show
gypsies are getting married at 15 and stuff. So, and that means that the male has to work. That's it. At 15,
that's
he's getting a full-time
school
job.
Or no school. You're out.
You're out. So, Yeah, so they're obviously preparing them to be adults, without a doubt. So the next question was, if you could tell someone what makes you feel so great, what would you say to them?
Let's see. I feel overwhelmed and fulfilled that I give these children hope when there is none. Now think of that statement. She says, and I thank God for giving me the strength to carry on.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, obviously she is up against some real challenges, but she's actually doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
What is your hope for the children and the orphanage?
My hope for them is to foster shelter, cater and sustain welfare of all the children in the home, and to lay Bible-based foundation for morality and development of healthy values, to promote the development of children in body, mind, and spirit, and to help the children develop self-driven desire to acquire skills and knowledge to be used for the benefit of others. Interesting statement right there. Body, mind, and spirit. And to help the children develop a self-driven desire to acquire skills.
Yeah. Well, think about it. They need to be pushed to
driven.
Say, hey,
yeah.
You need to be driven to continue to educate yourself.
There's
and continue
no lazy
to learn.
Going on here.
Yeah.
You don't have that opportunity.
No, but I think, I think that's great what she's doing because she's creating people that will sustain themselves because there's a big difference. You know, they say, teach me how to fish or catch
me
a fish.
Right.
Yeah. It's like if you teach me how to fish, then I do not require you to assist
right.
me any longer.
Myself for
I feed
life.
Myself for life. So that's what she's doing. She's using that mentality, and I think you need to.
Yeah.
I think you need to. I think you need to come up that way to survive. I mean, this world can be a little rough at times, and you need all the advantages that you can get. So the
right.
fact that she's approaching it that way, she's like, I can't be
she's
your caretaker
not just
forever.
Putting a Band-Aid on.
No. And honestly, think about it. When someone hits 18, there's another little child who's 3 who's just coming in. It's like, I have to give my attention to the 3-year-old. You're 18 now. You need to move
yeah,
forward.
Right, right, right.
So I'm sure that she just doesn't say, okay, that's it. No more orphanage.
Yeah.
It's like, no, the orphans keep coming.
Keeps going. Yeah. I'm sure there's more on the streets than they can even handle.
Handle, yeah. Okay. Do you see that as a real possibility if we were able to get people aware of this issue?
And now just repeating that, what your question was before was, what is your hope for the children? And she said her hope was foster shelter, cater and sustain welfare for the kids, and build them body, mind, and spirit. Give them skills. So now Tony's saying, do you think that's really possible? And she says, of course, nothing is impossible. Unfortunately, we are in a country where 70% of our people are in poverty.
Wow. 70%. That
is. And still says, of course, nothing is impossible.
There you go. 70% are in poverty, but nothing is impossible. And you know what? I have a strong feeling that things are going to change.
Yeah.
I have a strong feeling that things are going to evolve and actually going to start to loosen up, and the ones that are above are going to be removed from power because they've been keeping us down for a while, and I think it's time.
So I think also awareness is going to be a really strong thing, you know, having people know what she's doing out there. And the next question pretty much addresses that. Go ahead and ask the next one.
Okay.
Now.
What would you say are the things you need most out there?
Now, this is where we can all really help. Stationery, reading and textbooks, teaching materials, computers and printers, clothing and shoes, of course, financial support to pay for the utilities at the facility and some type of wages for the staff. But wow, you know, we send stuff through the mail, cross country all the time. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't really cost any more. It just takes longer
right.
to send things to Africa. So if you're about to go to Goodwill and drop off a bag of stuff, hop on our website. We're going to put a street address that you can send stuff to Sarah's Orphanage.
Yeah.
And drop it in the mail. It might cost you $10. Big deal.
And let me just chime in on that. I had taken a trip to Ecuador. And there was a woman who had started a school in a small little farm community where the kids, again, talking about growing up quick, the kids didn't go to school. By the time they were like 8 or 9, they're working on the farm. And the parents really didn't care for this woman to be there to educate the kids because
she was taking them off the farm.
She was taking them like, these are our workers. You're taking our kids off the job.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, I just had a calling that I felt like I had to educate these kids so they could better themselves and not have to just live on a farm. Long story short is we brought some pads of paper and some pens and pencils, and we're not talking a lot. Like pretty whatever would fit in our suitcase.
I was going to say a couple duffel bags.
And they were absolutely thrilled. The woman said that every child gets one piece of paper a day.
Wow.
One piece of paper a day.
Think of how many pieces of paper you crumple up and throw in the garbage that you wrote two or three words on and wasted.
Exactly. Because now, and now think of this. Think of a little kid who likes to draw.
Oh, yeah.
I just drew on this. I want another sheet. Oh, I just drew on this one. Give me another one.
Right.
They want to be creative. They want to express themselves. They're expanding their minds. They want to practice their letters. I mean, there's so many things that they can do. Now, if you only have one piece of paper, now you have to limit your creativity down to
imagination. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
You have to really limit it down to like, what can I put on this one piece of paper? Because I only get one.
Well, and you have a line in your song, limitation on imagination decreases destination.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? So anyway, we can help. Definitely we can help. Of course, you can also always help financially. But, you know, when you go to a book sale or a garage sale and you see kids reading books, grab a handful of them and send them off. It's not a big deal to make an effort to do something really great and change kids' lives.
Well, the fact that you can go to the dollar store and get a pad of paper and get a little notebook for 99 cents.
Yeah.
So if you spent $4 or $5, you could just put those in a package and send them off and just feel like, you know, I did something really cool.
Yeah, karma. It's a karma, a star in the karma bank.
All right, so here's another question that you wrote. Can others get involved in what you're doing even if they can't leave America?
Yes, and that's when she says that, yes, financial support is always a really strong thing, but also sending out goodies to them as well.
Do you do any types of fundraisers throughout the year? I'm not even sure if that's possible where you are.
She says, nope, no fundraising at all. Their very existence strives on the kinds of support from churches, organizations, and people like us that are making, you know, them aware, others aware of what they're doing. She says, we decided to use social media to reach out to those that may feel concerns over the children, people that may want to help. And I wouldn't imagine there would be fundraising, because how do you fundraise in a country where 70% is poverty?
Right. Right. So they're all surviving. It's
part.
Like, but you know what?
But I didn't know.
But it's really good you said that, because that being said actually just brings more awareness to it. You're like, you can't go into a room of beggars and beg, because you're all begging.
Everybody's starving.
Everyone's starving. You're like,
right.
You know, you could just only split with what you got. So it is what it is.
Yeah. Okay, so then...
is there a website where people can contact you and make a donation?
They have a Facebook, and the Facebook is called Sarah Saint, S-A-R-A-H-S-A-I-N-T. They're currently working on their website as we speak. It's under construction, and I would imagine that if somebody wanted to reach out and help them to complete that process, that would really be appreciated, because part of the holdup, I'm sure, is financial. As you would well imagine, they'd prefer to put food in the children's mouth and clothes on their back than spend money to have somebody create a website for them. So I say, let's offer our humanitarian services, people who are listening to the show today, and reach out to Sarah's Saint and see what you can do to help.
Yeah, I think she's doing an incredible job out there. And the fact that we had the pleasure of contacting her through Facebook and just bringing her awareness out to everyone, we've planted a seed. So now it's up to you to see if you can help out. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Gilman Amps, we create the tone in your head. Custom built guitar and bass tube amplifiers.
Hey everybody, this is David Gilman from Gilman Amps. If you need any repairs, modifications, or restorations of your vintage or modern tube equipment, as well as custom builds, I'd love to hear from you.
For more information, check out their website, GilmanAmps.com, and Facebook /GilmanAmps. We create the tone in your head. So listen up. If you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind
ST Productions, an audio video graphic design service.
So this is the part of our show where we like to dedicate a song to our guests. And the songs that we dedicate are songs written by Saint Tone because they are all powerful, positive, and a lot of fun to dance to, I gotta say. And so this song that we picked, Tony, why don't you tell us about the song and why we picked it?
What's the song called? I Am the King of Me. And some of the lyrics are, I am the king of me, my thoughts, my beliefs, everything I touch and see, creating my reality. Because I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me, body, mind, and soul collectively, taking on responsibility as the ruler of this kingdom. And I really feel that these orphans that are being raised by Sarah are really taking on the responsibility that they need to better themselves and to be able to survive in this world and thrive as opposed to just survive. You know, hopefully she's teaching them lessons that will carry on for the rest of their lives. So she's really empowering them, and that's what I really love about it. And that's what this song is all about. It's about taking responsibility for your choices and just being who you are and moving forward. So this is King of Me.
Life rolled by the million ways to rise.
that was King of Me. You can find that on the album Outside the Box. That is available on iTunes and Bandcamp and CD Baby, along with my website, www.sainttone.com.
And go ahead and get on his Facebook and like the fella. He's very likable, you know.
Yeah, very likable.
So it is the portion of the show where I like to tell you about crazy, cool, fun, and unusual fundraisers that are out there, because this show is all about teaching you ways to help other people do really great things in your life and, you know, do things that put some stars in your karma bank. So what might you ask is a new and unusual fundraiser for schools?
Let me just go back a second. I really like that phrase you said, stars in your karma bank.
You like that?
Yeah, I haven't heard that. Ever.
It's mine.
Is that yours?
I patented that one.
Really?
Or what did I copyright it? Or I did something to it.
Really?
Well, it's mine.
It might have to be a song. Put some stars in your karma bank.
Okay.
All right. Sorry. That's what musicians do. They hear these little catchphrases and go like, ooh, let me grab that.
You know, he's writing feverishly in a corner and playing his guitar and don't bug me face.
That's how What's Up With Your Cranky Pants was born.
Exactly. So anyway, I found this fundraiser and I don't know if you've seen, but there's this whole new fad of pencils and pens that smell in different flavors.
I remember we went to the show and had those. Oh my God, they smell like
coffee and bubble gum and raspberries and
various
hundreds of flavors.
Yeah,
watermelon and just literally hundreds. So the
company, be sniffing your pencil all day.
The company that created those, which could be inspiring, chocolate. I remember was one.
Yeah.
They started a fundraising site. You can go to Scentco Fundraising. So it's S-C-E-N-T-C-O, like the scent, the aroma of the pens and the pencils. Fundraising, and it's an all-year thing where you sign up yourself, your group, your organization, your sports team, whatever it is you're raising money for. You sign up and you create your campaign there. And as people go there and buy the pens and the pencils for themselves, they just go online and they go, oh, we're going to support your adventure. Then they buy a pen and you get a percentage of the proceeds. So it's not like a timed thing. You can do this year round for the next 10 years, basically. And continually, people just keep buying pens and pencils and they buy them for gifts and packages of 10 to give to little Susie who's starting school next week and, you know, that kind of thing.
Now, how cool would it be if our listening audience would go and buy some scented pencils and send them to Africa?
Oh, wow. What a thought that is.
That would be so cool. So I'm putting it out there to go and buy a little pack of pencils of your favorite flavor, whatever flavor you think you'd like.
That's a really
the kids
cool
to
thought.
Have. And, you know, send them some chocolate or strawberry scented pencils. I think that would just be so fun.
That almost might be torture.
I think it would be really neat for them, the kids. Just think about that. For them, they're going to have a pencil that it's also has a smell to it, and they're writing with it. That'd be so much fun.
I'm saying don't pick food flavors that they can't get there. That would be torturous. Like wildflowers or something.
Be gnawing on the pencil.
Right, right. But I think that Scentco has a really cool idea. I like that they've come up with this, you know, and getting away from the traditional wrapping paper and, you know, all the usual fundraisers that we've all had to succumb to purchasing from.
Well, you
got to
remember, you know, the internet is a really amazing place that when you start to really look at it, you can find some really cool things. So just dig. Go
now,
out there and try to
some
find something.
Homegrown things that you can do. How about doing a backyard barbecue? Everybody brings a dish so that you're not like slammed with a big expense of food for a bunch of people. Everybody brings a dish. They bring what they're going to drink. And then you do some little games, like you fill a jar full of marbles and it's pay a dollar to guess how many marbles are in the jar. That type of thing. Or you can have a cook-off and get four of your friends to be judges and have people spend like $10 to enter the cook-off. They make burgers, and it's a burger contest or something like that. Just a fun outside day in the yard way to get either your neighborhood together and get all the kids involved, or get your coworkers and things like that. So that's a fun, cool thing to do in the summertime that gets you outside. And I want to say thank you to our David Gilman for showing up today. And it was fun, Tony, to do that impromptu conversation about you guys. And
I had fun doing it.
Yeah.
So we're going to end the show with another song, and it's a song called Best Case Scenario.
Huh.
Instead of thinking of the worst case scenario, what is the best case scenario that you could think of? And that's what this song is about. And I want to leave you guys with that message. Think of the best case scenario in everything you do.
Don't forget to go to humanitarianradio.com and Humanitarian Radio Facebook and let us know what you're doing in the community. Send us photos. Tell us who you know that we should be talking to. And have an awesome week. We'll see you next week.
This is Best Case Scenario by St. Tone. Take care.
Bye-bye. Best case gonna blow your mind when your focus gets flipped from dirt to blue sky. Best case gonna blow your mind when your focus gets flipped from dirt to blue sky. Best case gonna blow your mind when your focus gets flipped. Give me that best case scenario. I wanna hear it full blast in stereo. I wanna see my glass start to overflow with that best case scenario. And I just won't quit, and I just won't quit. Oh no no. Give me that best case scenario. Where the right's out to the wrongs. Where love has come to conquer all. With that best case scenario. Cause I need that lift, I need that lift. Oh yeah. Show me, teach me. Get the power to create. In my mind I find a way. Remind me, teach me. Get the power future in the groove. I am blessed, I am here. No type of fear, no time for fear. No fear. I got the best case scenario flowing through my mind. Yeah, the clock says I'm living. I could travel through time. Cause I'm here to define, here to remind, that every little thought is here to design. Your destiny, who you choose to be. A king in the sky or a bum on the street. It's not up to me, yeah, it's only you. Win or lose, when you choose, create your own truth. Good vibing, aligning, a ship that lets the bright light in. What you say, you create. So think twice before you let your mind stray.
Shouting out some good news for your soul.